former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Hour two coming at you live from Las Vegas in downtown Circa Resort and Casino alongside the one and only Mike Pritchard. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Very grateful to have Pritch's decade long of a playing experience knowledge on the desk with us today, especially because we have so much to unpack in the NFL. We talked about it a good bit at the start of the show with it being Franchise Tag Tuesday. Teams have until 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 Eastern to officially put the franchise tag on certain players or come to long-term deals. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, a big topic of discussion with the Giants. And of course, Lamar Jackson and Baltimore. And what in the world happens there?
Oh, anybody's guess with that situation right now. I mean, they're going to up against the deadline. I think the Ravens, they don't mind applying pressure to the situation. DaCosta said that it was difficult dealing with a player without an agent. Mm-hmm. Well, he did that with your linebacker. Roquan Smith, I think he represents himself, and they got a deal done. So they knew this situation with Lamar Jackson for years. It's not like it's a new situation. So to me, you know, you're just trying to play in that negotiation game if you're the Ravens. But I think you also are flirting with danger. I think Lamar implied to you that he is ready to move on with his contract demands. He knew, like, Lamar had to know that the Ravens were not going to match those contract demands. But are the Ravens going to budge? Are they going to meet him halfway even? It doesn't appear to be the case. And now the Ravens apparently are going to buy more time with their franchise tag. We don't know if it's going to be exclusive or non-exclusive to find out what the market could be for Lamar Jackson.
And it's one of those things where it can be a positive or a negative if you're a player, that it's not necessarily that you're paid what you deserve. Mm-hmm. You're being paid what someone's willing to pay you. And so now, depending on this franchise tag situation, if he does the non-exclusive, what are some of these other teams going to come to him with when it comes to contract offers? Are the Ravens going to be willing to match that or give him up for 2 first-round picks?
Well, right. And here's where an agent would be beneficial for Lamar, and that's what I would do as soon as that franchise tag gets applied. I would hire an agent like that and throw it in the face of the Ravens.
But is he going to change? Is he going to change his tune?
Probably
like that
not.
So, yeah.
You know, the thing about it too, Stormy, and this is the dirty part. I'm going to pull back the curtain on the National Football League. Deshaun Watson got a guaranteed contract, right? These owners are going to collude and not give Lamar Jackson a guaranteed contract. So even if he's looking for a guaranteed contract in the likes of Deshaun Watson, I think these 32 owners, they've had that discussion already, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Cleveland Browns, and your ownership for doing that. But no, we're not going to do that any longer. So can you prove that as a player, that the owners are colluding to say, hey, we're not going to do that anymore? Mm-hmm. Probably not. But could an agent peel the layers back away from that onion? I don't know. Lamar Jackson, I don't know if he's capable of doing that. But if it is non-exclusive, and Lamar Jackson is going to have that challenge of trying to find what his market value is, I wonder what that's going to be right now.
Yeah, I'm very curious as well. And that's a great point that you made from Lamar Jackson's standpoint, that of course he wants the guaranteed money. He saw somebody else get it that he feels he has performed better than. He has an MVP to his name. Deshaun Watson does not have that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I get it completely from his perspective and trying to stick to his guns and get what he feels that he deserves in this case. But let's say things don't work out and that he does not remain a Baltimore Raven. I know you have mentioned the Atlanta Falcons as a landing spot that would make a lot of sense. They were somebody that in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, we really thought he could go to Atlanta before the situation worked out with the Browns. We're seeing the report a couple days ago from Josina Anderson that the Miami Dolphins are looking at all of their options when it comes to quarterback. He, of course, is from Miami. He's out there right now when he's been doing these talks with the general manager. That's where he's been. So maybe the Dolphins are another spot. Like, how do you view what his options could be?
Well, this one gets very, very tough for me because, I mean, Lamar Jackson would be an upgrade over a lot of situations. And we're talking about starting quarterback situations, right? Tua and Miami. I mean, the Jets are looking for a quarterback. That's always intriguing. You were mentioning Atlanta, too. I mean, Atlanta, along with other moves.
Yeah, can you imagine, sorry, just because you said the Jets, all this talk about Aaron Rodgers right. and Lamar Jackson, like,
it just
actually,
slides
just
right
there.
In there. I know, let's just go right there. But he's that attraction. I mean, he's 27 mm-hmm. years old, yeah. and I think there's a tremendous upside for Lamar. There's a lot of teams I think that could be in play, the Titans even, if you want to think about them. But a team that I keep gravitating towards, and I know the Raiders are in the rumor mill too because they're looking for a quarterback. But nobody's talking about the Commanders. Mm-hmm. And a new offense coordinator slash head, well, head coach, associate, assistant head coach and offense coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. And then the guy going to Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes. You know, if you're Lamar Jackson and if you are non-exclusive, I wonder with what's everything has taken place with that organization, that franchise, the current owner will be aggressive, sometimes overly aggressive with players. I wonder if Washington could become a player if Lamar Jackson is available from a non-exclusive franchise situation.
Okay. I'm going to do a little rapid fire with you. I'm going to say a team, and I want you to tell me who right now, who you think their starting quarterback is going to be in 2023. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Starting with the Baltimore Ravens. Just kidding. No, I won't start there because that's too tough. New York Jets.
New York Jets. I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Las Vegas Raiders.
Stidham.
Okay. So no Jimmy G to the Raiders.
I mean, to me, that's the same player, but Stidham's a lot younger and a lot cheaper.
Okay. Atlanta Falcons.
You don't like my answer so far.
I'm not.
That's okay. That's okay. Atlanta
Falcons.
Oh, good Lord. I don't know. How about that? Is that an answer? Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah. Well, so it is really tough.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have people like Drew Locke and those kind of guys out there floating around, right? And okay, quarterback competition.
Do you want to keep giving Desmond Ridder the reins and give him an opportunity, or do you want to get somebody who's more veteran to come in there? Like, there's so many.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think Ridder would be in a competition. Like, if they don't get Lamar or somebody like that, I think there's going to be a quarterback competition in Atlanta.
So Jimmy Garoppolo, how you said you think he's the same player essentially as Jared Stidham, but younger and cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I said Jimmy G obviously is the connection with the head coach and Josh McDaniels mm-hmm. in Vegas. Where do you think that Jimmy G would make the most sense in this cycle? Because yes, he's coming off an injury, but he's gonna be back this time in the offseason versus having to like still be rehabbing. Like, he'll be where he needs to be. We already know that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have said that they are moving on. They're not gonna have him in that room. It's Brock Purdy and Trey Lance for them right now, which both coming off of injuries themselves, which is super fun for me and my fandom. But he is one of the best options that is out there right now, it seems, in the free agent market.
You know, he is. So you look at his quarterback record from a starting quarterback, what is he, 40-17 or something like that, right? And predominantly that's been with San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know, a slight of a chance out there in New England prior to being traded. He's been so far removed from McDaniels that I think Stidham has more of a grip of this offense and more of a feel of what the direction of where Josh wants to go than Jimmy G does. I mean, you got to turn back the clock multiple years for Jimmy G. Where he is highly familiar, what he is highly familiar with is what's going on with San Francisco, certainly. But where is that now? It's in Houston and it's in Miami. So if you are looking for a bridge quarterback for whatever mm-hmm. quarterback situation you might look for in Houston, Jimmy G makes sense right there, right? If you are looking because of its situation with Tua and the concussions, you're not confident about that, he makes a ton of sense in Miami as well.
Jimmy is just one of the, like, he's a good enough quarterback. People like him. He mm-hmm. has that quality where, like, we've seen in San Francisco, teammates rally around him. It's just more of a question of, can he stay healthy?
Right.
Because we know he can do enough to be fine. Like, the 2 years that he was healthy in San Francisco, they went to the Super Bowl in 2019 mm-hmm. and an NFC title game in 2020. But he's had the season-ending ACL. He's had the ankle injuries that forced him to miss nearly double-digit games for a season. He is coming off the broken foot this year, the shoulder sprain, that awful thumb thing that he had. So, like, it's not even like it's the same recurring thing.
Yeah.
It's just, like, always something, it feels like, with Jimmy G, which
is unfortunate. I don't want to hurt you here, Stormy.
You're gonna. I'm going to.
Because
that's like Jalen Hurts in the NFC Championship this year.
Because if Jimmy G stayed healthy this year, San Francisco probably would have won a Super Bowl. As well as they were playing, they were getting better, they were starting to get healthier with that defense. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, you have to be kicking the table or throwing things at this point, knowing that if you Jimmy G would have just stayed healthy, and you can't rely on that.
Pritch, I still even wonder, because a lot of the timelines had Jimmy G being available in the postseason.
Right.
Had he just been eligible to dress in that NFC Championship game,
right?
Like, could we have just had that as our backup option instead of having to go where we went for a fourth string quarterback down the line? Yeah. Like, we don't. That was just like a Murphy's Law type of a game where it's like everything that could go wrong did for San Francisco. And I still look back on it just wondering, which is stupid to do, I know, but just wondering what could have been if it was truly best on best.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have been that, I don't think it would have been that blowout game. I think it would have been a game that came down to the wire for who goes to the Super Bowl. And so instead, when your quarterback can't throw the ball more than 5 yards, you're in a situation like you are.
Yeah. What makes you wonder if he was available, why didn't they activate him though? Or was it a medical situation? Because I don't know the full story there.
I don't know either.
Now the fact that they want to move on away from him, I just wonder what that situation was. We'll find out the details there, but you're right. I mean, he should have been active if there was a slight chance that he could have been available for the 49ers.
Yeah, very unfortunate situation. And now I just have to wait with bated breath to see how Trey Lance is going to perform, because Brock Purdy reportedly set to have his surgery this Friday. And the recovery process from there, we're not really going to know until after the doctor has been in there and performed the surgery. So give you information on that as it comes. I know that I am very curious how it plays out. I'm desperate. We're going to step aside when we come back. Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker teammate of our guy Mike Pritchard, is going to join us coming up next and continue talking all things NFL and Franchise Tag Tuesday.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, live from Las Vegas, alongside Mike Pritchard. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, hoping to get our guy, Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker, on the line here in a moment. But while we wait to figure that out a little bit, the NFL franchise tag is obviously just hours away now. Teams are running out of time to figure out if they can retain certain players or prevent them from entering the open market. But some players have already been tagged here, Pritch. The Raiders have applied the franchise tag to running back Josh Jacobs. Jacobs' salary on the fifth-year option would have been around $8 million. By tagging him, now they're paying him $2 million more.
Okay,
but
right.
Obviously came off a great season, didn't want to let him go. Mm-hmm. Cowboys tagged Tony Pollard for $10 million, but would like to sign him to a long-term deal. They, again, have the opportunity to do so until July 15th. To reach a deal. And the Chiefs will not tag offensive tackle Orlando Brown after he played on it last season. Would still like to bring him back and work out a deal. Frank Clark expected to be a salary cap casualty there. And we do have Chad Brown on the line now. Of course, former teammates with you, Pritch, at Seattle, and on that CU Buffs squad, lengthy NFL career. Chad, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
How are you feeling this franchise tag Tuesday and all of the moving parts that are up in the air today?
I think there's a little bit of jealousy going on. My mother and father apparently had me way too soon, because these kind of money they're talking about for these guys is tremendous, and I can't help but admit my jealousy. It's going to be interesting because we're seeing some big names being talked about as being shot. So how this day plays out will then have that domino effect for certain teams. If maybe we were looking at getting this guy, he's not being shot, so we got a franchise tag our guy. You know, what value does an offensive tackle like Orlando Brown have to the Kansas City Chiefs when, you know, he's definitely one of the higher level free agents available, possible free agents available. So there's just so many angles to this whole thing here.
You know, Chad, we often start with the quarterbacks when it comes to free agency. And you know, Derek Carr signs a deal that was nice, probably set the market a little bit. Then Geno backs that up too. Daniel Jones in New York, Saquon Barkley in that situation. What's your thoughts or feelings in terms of what's going to happen out there in New York between a franchise tag of Daniel Jones, the quarterback, or a franchise tag and Saquon Barkley?
Wow. You know, I'm hearing these numbers that are being talked about from Daniel Jones' side, $40 plus million. While it's not my money, It feels like that's a lot of money for a guy who, you know, benefited from a new coach creating, you know, a system around him that didn't ask a ton of him, and whose style of play, as we saw late in the season in the playoffs, him just running the ball over and over, doesn't feel like it's long-term sustainable for me. So what did the Giants do? Obviously, there's not a ton of quarterbacks available with Derek Carr now going up to the New Orleans Saints. You know, what, is there going to be another quarterback available outside of Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, probably wouldn't fit with what they want to do out there with the Giants? So for the Giants, does Saquon Barkley make more sense to franchise tag him and try to come to some kind of agreement with Daniel Jones's folks that doesn't, you know, push the number, you know, north of $45 million? They've got a difficult job in front of them out there in New York.
Yeah, which is interesting that we've already seen their GM come out and say that, okay, if we don't get the deal done and we're going to work this up until the deadline, until the, you know, final minutes that we can, we're going to tag Daniel Jones, which is it's interesting. If you had to say yes or no right now, do the Giants end up having Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley on their roster next year?
Probably not. Probably not. It's difficult to play two guys in the offensive backfield at the tops of the league. And both those guys are expecting those kind of numbers. So the salary cap implications, your ability to build a team around them, is going to be hamstrung. So I don't think both those guys will be playing for the Giants next season.
Chad, what do you think is going to happen with Lamar Jackson? I mean, non-exclusive or exclusive franchise tag. If it's non-exclusive, obviously there could be some teams out there entertaining the services of Lamar Jackson. From a betting perspective here on our network, I mean, some people might be trying to get out in front of that with Atlanta or some other teams. Do you think Lamar Jackson will be available to negotiate with other teams, or do you think the Ravens are going to try to keep him with that exclusive franchise tag?
Let's back it up a step, Pritch. I think Lamar Jackson needs to hire an agent because the agent is more there than to just negotiate the deal. The agent acts as a buffer between you and the team. If you're negotiating directly with the team, it's a negotiation. They're going to lowball you at first, and you're going to come in high, and it's going to create this animosity. An agent also keeps that conversation going and begins to grease the sleds for certain things that you as a player would have a difficult time doing. So I don't think Lamar Jackson has served himself well from the perspective of not having an agent, because the agent does all these kinds of things for you and doesn't allow the relationship to become one where their animosity is the primary emotion rather than an emotion of, let's see if we can get this done. And I think that's just where this negotiation is at between Lamar Jackson and Baltimore, to the point now where I think both sides are looking at other options, where I think an agent being able to kind of grease the sleds and manage the relationships could have found a way to get this done without it coming to what it seems like it's going to come to.
And we've talked here, Pritch, about how, like, okay, well, you're not supposed to. There's probably colluding going on with these general managers and owners saying, hey, let's not make what we did with Deshaun Watson and that guaranteed money a thing here, because if it's one, it's an outlier. If it's multiple, you're on the way to that becoming a trend and the norm in the NFL, and they don't want that to happen here. Right. Here with former NFL linebacker, NFL and college football analyst Chad Brown, three-time Pro Bowler, as we continue our NFL conversation. You tweeted during the combine, and it made me laugh. When did doing the expected at the combine become an achievement? Athletic quarterbacks should jump high. Athletic guys should jump high. Quarterbacks should throw good balls. Strong men should move weight. Somehow, the only important question has gotten lost in the hype. Talk me through how you viewed this year's combine.
I saw more social media hype for guys who weren't good players in college but somehow test well, as if that is a direct pipeline to becoming a Hall of Famer. Of course, you want to test well at the combine, and you want to show that you've prepared yourself for the moment, but didn't college tape matter? Didn't what you do on tape matter? Prince and I both, in our times in Seattle and at Colorado Buffalo, had teammates who weren't great test guys, but were great football players. Heck, I benched 225 pounds 11 times on my pro day. That's like kicker territory. That's how poor I was as far as bench pressing. Yet I played 15 years in the NFL, was all pro and a pro bowler. So let's not lose track of can you play the game. This year, maybe for the first time, I rolled my eyes more often than I ever have at the combine coverage, at the breathless, oh my gosh, what a great ball by this quarterback. It's the same drill that every quarterback goes through at the combine. He's probably thrown that throw in preparation for this combine experience 500 or 1,000 times. He should perform that well. So let's not get all breathless about someone doing what they prepared themselves to do. And let's not ever forget to check tape. And I'll give you one story. I was with the Patriots, and I was talking to Bill Belichick, and we were talking after practice, and one of the other guys on the team came up and was talking about, this was back when you had a mini camp before the draft. This was how long ago this was. Bill and I were talking, and a teammate of mine came up and was talking to Bill about one of his college teammates who was going to be coming out. And he said, this guy is going to run the best L drill at the combine. And Bill's response was, well, as soon as we install the L drill play, that'll be the guy I'm going to draft. And it kind of speaks to the absurdity of it from a coaching standpoint, where Bill Belichick did not go to the combine this year. He did not attend the combine this year. He's always been a staple, but I think he's understanding that we're kind of losing track of the football players in this underwear Olympics thing called the combine.
Yeah, absolutely. Great answer. Well said. You know, Chad, we got about a minute left. I just got to ask you a question and moving forward with the league. Where do you see it going? Because as an all-pro linebacker yourself, you covered a game with Westwood One. Like, this game, is it trending towards running the football more, or are we still going to see the quarterback be a significant factor, though?
I think passing is not going to go away in the NFL, but there's always going to be a couple teams that are going to try to be an outlier. We saw this, you know, back in the Pac-12 when Stanford would bring in, you know, 9 offensive linemen to be one quarterback and one running back, and so they would run over people in the Pac-12. There's always going to be a team that's going to take advantage of the opposite side of things. So the ability to put a fullback on the field, an extra tight end, an extra offensive lineman as a tight end, that part of football is never going to go away. As teams go with smaller, quicker defenders to try to defend the pass, it makes sense just to run the ball at them.
Yeah. Really good stuff, Chad. Appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
3-time Pro Bowler Chad Brown at Chad Brown 94. Appreciate you guys letting me break up the bromance a little bit there and ask a couple of questions.
I'm going to call him Burgess, but I didn't get a chance to do that.
We're going to take a quick break. Josh Applebaum, Market Insights Pod, is going to join us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Remember, it is time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get everything you'll need to bet the madness this year for just $19. So whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team's here to help you get ready for each and every game of every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like betting splits, plus the Big Dance Bracket and Betting Guide. These guides have in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions and picks on each game. And it's all from our experts, including the one and only legend himself, Brent Musburger, as well as Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tourney. Again, just $19, VSiN.com/subscribe. So obviously the NCAA tournament is the big dance. Mm-hmm. These conference tournaments, what are those? Is that dance class? Is that dance rehearsal?
Right. I don't know. I like that though.
Getting ready. And a number of teams have already punched their ticket, got those auto bids in pocket for the field, and 4 more set to do so today. We're going to talk some college basketball as we bring in good friend of the show, Josh Applebaum. And Josh, obviously, VSiN contributor, host of the Morning Bets podcast, Market Insights as well. You're all over the place. And how early do you have to wake up, by the way, to get that Morning Bets pod in? Because it is like ready and waiting downloadable every day that I wake up. And that's pretty early over here on the West Coast.
Yeah, Stormy and Pritch, it's great to be with you. So to be totally honest, I get up around 5 a.m. I spend about an hour 45 minutes, an hour prepping it and then getting it recorded. It's only 15 minutes to record it, but I get a head start the night before, Stormy, so it's kind of a benefit when I write the newsletter the night before. I'm looking at those overnight lines that first come out and looking at the early moves, and then I'll go to bed for a few hours, wake up, and if the line from the overnight line is moving, you know, further in favor or in the same direction, if I have a Ken Palm edge, if I have some betting systems, that makes me even more confident in the morning. So yeah, it's time. It's no sleep nation over here, Stormy. So it's conference tournaments. It's March Madness. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Tell you, it pays to wake up that early too, Josh. I mean, I was looking at some lines on my time when I thought was early. Right? You're talking about 2 a.m. my time. But
You have the advantage, Josh. This isn't fair for us over here.
Yeah. And so, you know, a game that I'm on later on with Minnesota and Philly, the line obviously got stronger in terms of the money line towards Minnesota. But if I had gotten up earlier, maybe I could have benefited by a shorter money line.
All right. Hey, Josh, let's get into some college basketball, though. And I know you've been fast and furious looking at all of these numbers. You have one play in a game I know a lot of eyeballs will be on, and another one that maybe not as many folks might have been paying attention to. So let's start there. Northern Kentucky and Cleveland State. If you haven't heard about them, now's the time, Josh. What do people need to know?
Yeah, so this is your Horizon League championship game here, Stormy. The winner gets to punch their ticket to the big dance. I'm going to go Northern Kentucky here. A couple angles to this game. Northern Kentucky playing Cleveland State. Number one, just what's the data doing? What's the market doing? The line is going toward Northern Kentucky. They came yesterday, they knocked off Youngstown State. They're a dog in that 3.5. They won outright. But really what your couple angles here with Northern Kentucky. Number one is the line movement. They open around a -1 favorite, neutral site. Now they're up to -2.5. So that's kind of a big number here. All things being equal, you don't have to apply for home court advantage because it's neutral court. So kind of to me, these are kind of like true numbers that get moved because you don't have to apply any home court advantage. But aside from the line move -1 to -2.5 toward Northern Kentucky, guys, they have a really good bet split in this one. If you look at our VSiN.com bet splits, they're only getting 47% of bets, but 68% of the money. So that kind of tells me that they're slightly contrarian. The public doesn't really know what to do here. Should I take Cleveland State? Should I take Northern Kentucky? They're undecided, basically. But yet those bigger, sharper wagers seem to be leaning on Northern Kentucky, causing that line move in their favor. I really bank on the defense of Northern Kentucky. They're only giving up 64 points a game versus 68 for Cleveland State. But here's the angle, guys. I think it's important when you're a sports bettor, even if you lose a bet, to file away some information that could benefit you later. Like, for example, I was on Youngstown last night. I was on the money line. They, you know, are one of the highest scoring teams. They get limited by that zone, and they played pretty poorly. I lost my bet on Youngstown. But what I learned watching that game is that there's a good motivational angle here for Northern Kentucky. They were in last year's Horizon League championship game. They lost on a buzzer beater, and they've been throughout the during the show, the commentators were talking about how that's a huge motivating factor for this team to get back, get their revenge, overcome last year's really tough loss in the championship game. So they have some unfinished business here, and I was looking at the box score. Four of your leading scorers from last year's championship game are on the same team this year. So you got a lot of kind of holdover from last year. I think it's a big motivational angle, but really to me, it's this line move toward Northern Kentucky. So I'll go money line here. Give me Northern Kentucky around -140.
Yeah, and Josh, Northern Kentucky has won the Horizon League tournament 4 of their 8 seasons in the conference. And you mentioned that defense. They are the top scoring defense in the Horizon League as well. So that plays into their favor.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh, we had Will Hill on the program earlier. He mentioned Gonzaga, St. Mary's, line movement towards St. Mary's right now. I want to know about the total here because it's varying in different shops, but I'm looking at 2.5 here now with this situation. Are you tailing Will, or what are you doing with your bet here in this game?
Well, is Will on St. Mary's, Pritch? Is that true?
He is. He's got a great number, too.
I'm with Will on this one. All right. This is your number one contrarian play of the day. This is right up my alley, a disgusting, gross, you know, bet against the public play, everyone and their mother on Gonzaga here tonight. But to Will's point, I'm glad he's on it. Will's sharp. I think he's leading that contest at VSiN. So proud of my buddy there. But you've seen this line move go towards St. Mary's. This is notable because a lot of these books open Gonzaga -3.5, -3. They're the public play here. You're looking at how can I not take Gonzaga only laying such a short number? We're used to the Zags, you know, laying 15, laying 20 points. So very short number. Public says, give me Gonzaga in this spot. However, despite 70% of bets on Gonzaga, this line has fallen. So if majority of bets here, you walk into a bar, guys, late night, it's a 9 o'clock game. It's the most heavily bet game of the night. Everyone's sweating Gonzaga. Then why is this line dropping towards St. Mary's? Shouldn't the line be going further toward Gonzaga if the books are taking in such heavy Zags money, you know, adjust the number up, entice betting on the dog? But no, they've taken a position here, it seems to me, on St. Mary's, dropping this line in their favor. And I don't know if Will Hill mentioned this, guys, but this is a KenPom sound the alarm, because KenPom actually has St. Mary's winning this game by 1 point. So kind of an angle there, taking the 2.5, a little bit of an edge, expecting a close one here. I'll take the points. I'm not going to go money line, just on the off chance you get something close, a buzzer beater, some kind of weird backdoor cover. I'll just take the points here, the 2.5, and not go money line. But and Pritch, you mentioned this with the total. Zags are obviously a juggernaut offensively. Yep. They're averaging almost 90 points a game. St. Mary's is the complete opposite. They're only giving up 60 points a game. So they're really a defensive team. So with the total, I haven't seen much here, Pritch. It was like 138.5, 139. I've seen it dip maybe a little bit here. I do lean neutral court unders just in general when you get to conference play, right? Because, you know, back-to-back days, tired legs, unfamiliar sight lines. So lean under here. No play for me on the total, though, but I do like this St. Mary's spot. Biggest contrarian play of the night. I'll take the 2.5 with that reverse line move.
Looks like it's going to be a fun one, too. Yeah. A pair of top 16 teams in the country going head-to-head for the auto bid. But we, of course, know both of these teams are going dancing, which will be fun to watch later on as well. Let's talk a little stick and puck here, Josh. Last week, of course, I was upset with you because of your side on the San Diego State Boise game. You ended up being right. I ended up being wrong, so I'm going to cry. Tonight, we are on the same side with a wager as we look at the Calgary Flames and Minnesota Wild. It's 3 games and 4 nights and a back-to-back for the Flames. How are you looking at this one?
So, Stormy, I'm so happy that we're on the same side here.
For
we
once,
don't have to worry about, you know, different angles or anything. So give me Minnesota Wild here. I like the Wild in the spot tonight. You mentioned it, Stormy. One angle I look at when you're betting hockey is rest versus tired, a team that played the previous night, has to have a quick turnaround. Typically, you'll play your backup goalie the next night versus a team that's rested and ready to go. So this is a really tough schedule, Scott, for the Calgary Flames. They actually had a big win in Dallas last night, but again, turnaround. Now you have to go to Minnesota. As you mentioned, Stormy, you're playing your 3rd game in 4 days. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Wild are rested. They haven't played since the 4th. So if you look at just home favorites against a team on the second leg of a back-to-back, it's about 69% over the last 4 years. So it's been a good angle to take that rested team over the tired team. You have a better power play here for the Minnesota Wild. They've made some good moves, kind of underrated in the trade deadline, bringing in Klingberg on defense, Sundquist, Marcus Johansson to offset your forwards here. But the other angle here is your goaltending. You're probably going to get Daniel Vladar tonight. He's got a goals against of almost 3. He's likely going to go up against Gustavsson. It's not going to be Fleury, but Gustavsson has been really good this year. 17-8-3. He's got a 1.99 goals against average. Minnesota's 8-1 their last 9. I got to take Minnesota here tonight. Rested, ready to go with the line move in their favor. They open like minus 130-ish. You're up to around minus 140.
All right. Well, I've stayed away from hockey. I don't know. I haven't caught up to hockey. I'm catching up with college basketball. So I'm listening in. I'm tuning in big time right now with you guys in this hockey. Like, because I only know 2 teams, the Avs and the Knights. That's it.
Well, the 2 places that you spent a good chunk
That's
of
right.
your life.
That's
so
right.
that makes some sense. They honestly, really good stuff, Josh. Really appreciate your time as always. You're the man.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks, Stormy. Thanks, Pritch.
Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights on Twitter. And one last note on that Flames Wild game. Shout out our guy, Jonathan Davis, who does a really good job on Twitter, always posting different stats and trends. Flames 2-5 on the back end of a back-to-back this season. And both of those wins were against Seattle. So I am with Josh on that one. Really, really high on the Minnesota Wild tonight. There's one other play in the NHL that we'll get to after we take a break that I do have tonight. That is like, you're going to be grossed out when you hear the details about it, just because, like, Stormy, how are you going to bet on a team that's on a 6-game losing streak right now on the puck line? But you know what? It's what I'm going to do.
That's what you're going to do.
We're testing the waters tonight. We're getting back into the NHL. We're getting prepped up. The postseason is going to be here before we know it. We both also have a play in the NBA tonight as well. So.
Is the puck line pretty strong? Or is it like, because the money line sport, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, primarily. Yeah. So you have to be pretty confident that they're going to win by 2 goals if you want to do that.
Can't wait to hear this. Can't wait to hear this.
Prayers up. Don't go anywhere. Wrapping things up with our best bets on the Lombardi line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points to BetMGM Rewards points so that you can use those towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We are wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Alongside Mike Pritchard, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Michael Lombardi getting some vacation time in. We talked plenty of franchise tag Tuesday over the course of the show. So if you missed anything and our thoughts on Lamar Jackson, on Daniel Jones, on a lot of the moves, make sure that you download VSiN Best Bets or the Lombardi Line in podcast form, available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, time for a couple plays that we have tonight, Pritch. And I'm just going to get this NHL bet out of the way fast and furious. I still am contemplating why I did this to myself, but I'm going to be sweating out the Lightning on the puck line tonight. Minus the goal and a half at minus 115. Might end up playing the over in this game as well. But this is a game in my brain where you either take the Lightning to win at margin or you just bet the big money line price on the Flyers for them to just win straight up plus 240, plus 250 range right now. Because this is a game that's going to go one way or the other. And anyone out there who knows how the Tampa Bay Lightning have played lately are probably saying, Stormy, why on God's green earth are you going to lay a goal and a half at that price on a team that's lost five straight games, most of them badly, including getting shut out 6-0 most recently to the Canes?
So, Stormy, why are you playing a puck line?
So I will tell you, because this is the perfect opponent for them to get out of the slump. Tampa has beat the Flyers 8 of their last 10 meetings. They did split this season. The lone loss, though, was a one-goal loss, and it was in October, right as the season started. So I kind of throw that one out. Their most recent win, 4-1 in December, two wins prior to that. 4-0, 7-1. Both of these teams also, by the way, have seen 6-plus goals scored in 7 of their last 9 games. So I feel like no defense is going to be played in this one. Tampa is sadly without Victor Hedman, who got injured last game, who's their best defenseman. So I just feel like goals are going to be scored in this game. And I just feel like Tampa at this point in the season is playing for the opportunity to have a good spot in the playoffs and needs to get right, and this just feels like the opponent for them to get right. So
okay, so if somebody could not get in on a side here, the totals could be in play. At least that's 6, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you want to do, I think that there was a 6.5 out there available earlier at a plus money price. So if you wanted to go that route, you could. But I think the 6 is going to be the safer bet to do the over, certainly. Okay, let's go NBA.
All right.
Because I know you have.
I do.
You have a play you really like.
I do.
Tonight,
I do. I was just looking at these games. And catching up to the NBA association a little bit and getting some help from JVT, who is phenomenal when it comes to betting, helping me cash tickets. You know, Minnesota is interesting because I felt like without Kat, they've been inconsistent. You know, you lose a superstar like that, you're going to have to adjust. And then when you look at what they've been able to do lately, it's been phenomenal. And they've been covering against teams like Sacramento, the Lakers, and obviously the Clippers. And all of those were on the road. Now they play Philly, who have been winning, and they had not playing great defense, but assists all over the place for Harden, and then Embiid is just a monster. I was cautious about this bet because without Kat, you know, Embiid has just been a force, has been a phenomenal player, hitting 19 free throws or something like that, 20 free throws has been incredible. But I think the way that the Minnesota Timberwolves have been playing lately, I've been inclined to take the money line here. So I got the money line at minus 135.
Okay, love Minnesota. Love it. Rolling with the T-Wolves, baby.
Yep.
I am looking at this Grizzlies-Lakers game as well. I played the Lake Show on the money line just to beat Memphis in this spot. They had a good win again against Golden State the other night without LeBron. AD has been a beast lately. I think that they're going to do the same against the job Morantless Grizz here tonight. Morant, of course, out indefinitely now after what's been compounding off-court issues, kind of coming to a point now this week with the gun being flashed in his Instagram Live. Evidently now Bleacher Report is reporting that the NBA's CBA, which I did not know this, has a firearm policy that if a firearm is on team premises, which includes the team plane, it is an automatic 50-game suspension. So this is something that it was first revealed and is kind of making the rounds right now from the This League Uncut podcast. And the league is trying to confirm right now where the firearm came from, when and where it got into his possession, and if it ultimately was on a team premise or the plane at any point. So that's going to be a huge development as we await this. But one thing that we thought is important, and we do VSiN pro tips here on the network. Every single show does them. They're searchable by sport and by show at VSiN.com. Become a subscriber today. But last season, there was a lot of talk about how well the Grizz performed when Ja Morant was not on the court. And it was a reason to almost back them in a lot of instances. They went 20-5 without Ja Morant. This season has been different. 4-6 without him this year. So maybe just throw out last year's success when you're betting on the Grizzlies games moving forward, because this is a spot where, like, you're having a lot of off-court drama. It's not just an injury type of a thing here. There's just a lot of voices and trying to figure out what's going on with their star player right now. And there's investigation pending.
Right.
The Grizz also, mind you, fun stat for this, 1-10 straight up their last 11 road games. This game is in LA tonight. So I like the Lakers money line in this spot with all the off-court drama surrounding Memphis.
Yeah, there's a lot of off-court drama. That team, though, you know, you wonder the depth of them, and certainly playing without Ja, they're able to adjust to that like they did last year. Mm-hmm. Right. The Lakers, though, you know, a day-to-day AD, he's been okay lately. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the concern, too, with the Lakers. Are they deep enough? But, yeah, Ja, he needs to get his house in order. I mean, I don't know what's going on. It's so out of character, it seems like, for what's going on in that guy in his life. But just like the National Football League, you cannot bring a firearm on team premises, and certainly a plane or wherever you are, hotel, all that stuff, you know, that encompasses all that. So if he violated that situation, that clause, and that's going to be interesting to see what the NBA does with that. But
yeah, anybody holding the Memphis futures ticket now is really not feeling particularly comfortable. Right
now. But if the team is good, though, and it's kind of my philosophy, and along with the pro tip for us today, can they adjust, though? Will they have enough time to adjust? I remember in the National Football League, when a key player went down that next week, that was a bet against, because it was going to take some time for that team to adjust with that key player, without that key player. But over time, you wonder if Memphis could be okay if there is a significant suspension. With my play in Minnesota, you know, they've been without Kat for so long, too, and now it seems like they're playing consistent basketball.
Also, if Memphis loses tonight, Sacramento is the 2 seed. So just keep that in mind as well. So we, throughout the course of the last 2 hours, have been talking in a number of commercial breaks about Tom Brady and the rumor mill, because Rich Eisen on his show was saying, like, the top 5 rumors that he heard during the combine in Indy. And one of them was that Tom Brady might not be done after all when it comes to his NFL playing days. Well, Brady has entered the chat. He posted on Twitter, "Anyone who thinks I have time to come back to the NFL has never adopted a 2-month-old kitten for their daughter." So he's at least saying, no, this is done.
That's full daddy mode right there, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, Tom, the dad Brady now. I mean, yeah, Josh McDaniels, there's a lot of people close to Tom Brady. And they've talked to him, and they don't want to disclose everything, but they have a sense and a feel that he's done, that this he means when, okay, he got to do it on his terms. Nobody leaked anything. He put out the message. He put out the video and said, look, I'm done. It's been a great run and all that, whatever he said. But the fact that he was able to do it on his terms, I think, meant everything to Tom Brady, because he played on his terms.
So just because the Miami Dolphins are, quote, exploring all options when it comes to the quarterback doesn't necessarily mean Tom Brady in this case, despite what we know has happened in previous off seasons.
Right.
Hence why actually the Dolphins don't have a first round pick this year.
Right. Exactly.
But,
yeah. Can a kitten compel you to go back to the National Football League, though?
That is the question.
That cat starts scratching on stuff and Tom Brady's like, I'm out of here.
Right? Well, that's why we joked last year when he came out of retirement, right? It's like, oh, he spent like however many days with his kids that he was like, nope, actually, I just need to get back to my playing days. It will be fun. While it's not Tom Brady, it will be fun to see the way that things shake out with this quarterback carousel. Derek Carr, of course, firmly with the New Orleans Saints. But what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? What's going to happen at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, at the franchise tag deadline when it comes to Daniel Jones and Lamar Jackson? So excited to recap that tomorrow. Pritch, we're going to miss you. Wish that you were with us throughout more of this week. We got JVT tomorrow. Excited to have him to dive into a lot of the NBA. Thank you to Josh Applebaum, to Will Hill, to your good friend Chad Brown for joining us as well today.
Thank you, Stormy. This was awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love getting your NFL insight, my guy. That is it for us, though, today on the Lombardi Line. But back here, same time, same place tomorrow.